What's up, guys? Rick here with your DFS preview for this week's Zozo Championship, an event that is going to be much different than what we've seen in this FedEx Cup fall portion of the schedule because it's 78 golfers. It is a no-cut event, and it kind of bucks the trend of what we've seen from, you know, golfers 51 through 200 jockeying for positioning and things of that nature. So we're going to talk about it. Apologies for being a little late this week. I outsmarted myself. I tried to make a little bit of a data update, ran into issues. I'm an idiot. We're back on track now. Let's not waste any more time. Let's jump over to rickrungood.com and talk through this week's Zozo Championship. So as mentioned, 78 players in this field. It is a no-cut event. You are guaranteed four rounds unless you DQ or WD. It's a little bit top-heavy in the field. It is Colin Morikawa, Xander Schauffele, Hideki Matsuyama. You also get, I think, 12 golfers from the Japanese golf tour. So this is an event that has been running for a handful of years, but we don't have a lot of history. I think there's only four previous editions. That was one of them. One of them was played at Sherwood Country Club during the COVID year, but we are back to Accordia Golf Narashino Country Club in Japan. So I'm showing you on my website right now, rickrungood.com, that the data has some pretty interesting nuggets here. Now, remember, small sample size, right? Very small sample size, but it does point out a couple of things. Number one, driving distance flies off the charts here, right? It is second. That means there's only one other course in which driving distance is more correlated to success than at Accordia Golf Narashino Country Club. Driving accuracy, not really all that important whatsoever, or at least historically in the few editions that we've had at this course. No surprise that off the tee is also ranked pretty highly, sixth. That means there's only five other courses in which strokes gained off the tee is more highly correlated to success. And then around the green play is 10th, which means there are only nine other courses in which strokes gained around the green is more important. So those are the things that stand out statistically. If you look at the noisier stats, you see some similar items like bounce back, club head speed, driving distance on all drives, going for the green, longest drives, etc., etc., par five, birdie or better leaders. And what this really does create is a situation where the guys that have had the most success at Accordia Golf Narashino Country Club are the ones that hit it far. That does not necessarily mean you have to do that, right? Or that week you have to hit it far. It just says the guys who are longer hitters have had more success at this golf course than others, and this is all normalized. So, for example, because it is a small field, 78 players, and in the past it's been a pretty highly lucrative event to play, a lot of invitationals, it's been a pretty strong field for 78 golfers. It's not just, you know, those guys are longer hitters anyway. No, that's all normalized in this whole thing. So still jumps out there in the handful of editions that we've had. Now, we're going to have to go through a lot of names here. If you go through the adjusted fit, Minwoo Lee actually over the last 36 rounds gets the best adjusted fit number, nearly a full stroke per round. He is a very long hitter, great around the green play, decent putter. Like that if those are things that are so highly regarded, Minwoo gets a big bump here. He's coming off a victory, which we'll talk about here shortly. He's $9,100. Rio Histatoon, I believe is how he pronounces it. Adam Scott, Cam Davis, Colin Morikawa rounding out the top five. So we'll talk about more of these guys in depth here in just 1 second. But yeah, we're kind of looking for long hitters. We're looking for guys to give themselves a bunch of opportunities. And what we can talk about is this: the fall so far has proven that the guys that are already locked in the top 50s, they're kind of dominating these events, right? I think, you know, of the seven guys who played last week who were already in the top 50, five of them finished in the top 20, I believe, with basically the top five on the leaderboard, including those guys. It's just, I think there is a little bit of a gap there between some of the golfers that we're seeing not required to play the event and guys that are fighting for position. Cheat sheet, rickrungood.com, four golfers over $10,000, Xander Schauffele, Colin Morikawa, Sung J.M., and Ricky Fowler. Okay, so let's talk through this. We have not seen Xander, Colin, and Ricky since the Ryder Cup, Rikki has played pretty well here. He finished runner-up last year. Xander has been phenomenal at this event. He hasn't finished worse than 28th with two top 10 finishes in the last 4 years. Let's do a deeper dive on Colin here for 1 second, because I think, you know, he is quietly playing in a similar fashion to Tom Morikawa, where like the game is getting back in shape. How can we, you know, project him going forward? And when you start looking, you know, remove yourself from this position category, if you can. When you look at this stat profile, it's a positive driver of the ball. It is a guy who I would say is mostly back to being a 4, 5, or 6 stroke approach golfer, which is basically stroke per round, which is elite level. Now, he didn't do that at the Open Championship. He didn't do it at the FedEx, and he didn't do it at the BMW Championship. A lot of positive gains outside of those throughout the entire year. Short game, good enough. Putter still remains a question mark. That has been the story for Colin Morikawa, I mean, seriously, for his entire career. So there is nothing, there is truly nothing that worries me about Colin. I just think he ran into a lot of positive wind luck very early in his career, has not run into as much recently, but they are basically the same golfer. He's basically the same golfer throughout the entirety of his career. His 3 trips to Japan, he's finished 22nd, 7th, and 45th. This to me feels like a pretty decent spot to deploy Colin. Xander, you know, we don't have the full numbers from, I actually do have numbers from the Ryder Cup, but it's, you know, similar to the match play. It's very, very wonky data, and even harder because it is, you know, there's a lot of team aspect to it as well. And just from the eye test, Xander Schauffele might've been one of the worst Americans at the Ryder Cup. I mean, he was fairly miserable, which is a little bit of a surprise because he has gained double digits in strokes gained over the, you know, 6 times in his last 12 starts, something like that. He's been piling up great finishes. Was that an anomaly? I would like to think yes. You know, even the B game from Xander Schauffele, which is, I wouldn't even say he's got his A minus stuff right now. He last 36 rounds, he is losing a tenth of a stroke to himself in the last 100 rounds, right? So he's losing a tenth of a stroke to his baseline. That is still like the 8th best player in this field. So even Xander's A minus stuff is a top 10 player in this field. So you look at floors, Xander's got one of the best floors out here, which is pretty exciting. So what I think I'm going to do with the top end is be really cautious about projected ownership, right? What is the difference between Xander and Colin? I think Xander is a little bit safer. I think Colin is probably a higher upside, lower floor type golfer in this scenario. Is one going to have significantly more ownership than the other? We're going to find out. The bottom of this range, Rikki could be the X factor here. So Rikki Fowler, you know, we had heard this, you know, I was in Rome. We had heard this on Thursday or Friday that Rikki was dealing with a stomach bug. We knew that he was pretty bad on Friday. He didn't play again until Sunday singles. And it was a little bit disappointing because it was, you know, finally back on an international team. You were hoping to see a little bit of something out of Rikki, who has found his game this year. There is very little momentum in the streets of Rikki Fowler, right? You've got a golfer who hasn't played in a while. The only time we've seen him outside the Tour Championship, he didn't play particularly well at the Ryder Cup and he was sick. The United States team got a bunch of flack. And then you have to pay a similar price for him as you would for Xander or Colin, in which everybody's just going to go grab those guys. So really interested to see what Rikki's ownership checks in at. I'm willing to cut him a little bit more slack than I normally would, because even before that bad play started, we knew that Rikki was dealing with a little bit of a stomach bug. Sungjae Im is here, and I have a shameless plug for rickrungood.com, and then also something that I don't have. So this is a very important week to be looking across all tours. So I have 6 different tours that I track on rickrungood.com: PGA Tour, Korn Ferry, Senior Tour, Live Golf, the Asian Tour, and what am I missing? Senior, PGA, PGA, Korn Ferry, Senior, European Tour, Live Golf, Asian Tour. I don't know which one I missed the first time. If this week in particular, if you're not looking If you're only looking at PGA Tour stats, you are way, way behind. Now, with that being said, the tour that I don't have is the Korean PGA, which is where Sungjae has played most recently. He finished runner-up. He got into a playoff, and that was his first start since the Tour Championship. He played well. So I you know, want to point out the importances of getting those worldwide stats. Even though I don't have the KPGA, maybe I should get that. Improve on Sungjae's numbers. But the point being that when you get down to the 9K range, it becomes critically important because Minwoo Lee is coming off a win. Minwoo Lee won last week on the European Tour, and he absolutely stomped the field. 23 strokes gained to the field, which is a bonkers number. Just an absolute insane number there. But what has Minnie been doing for a long time? He's been beating the field, and he's been beating the field in a big way. Played the Irish Open, played the BMW PGA Championship, played the French Open. He's been playing a lot of golf, and he's been playing golf really, really well. This dude can move it, right? He moves it off the tee. The short game is sound. The putter can get lightning hot. I worry about his approach play because he's going to be either -5 or +2. If we can skew him towards the +2 side of things, we're kind of in business with Minwoo Lee at $9,100. And I think that, you know, when you go back, if you trust the 3 years of correlation at Narashino, distance matters, accuracy doesn't. Really good news for Minwoo, who is long and very inaccurate. If you start looking at the power rankings, last 36 rounds, every single golfer in this field, Minwoo Lee's the best player. Now that is, you know, him taking advantage of 23 strokes gained, obviously at the, on the European Tour. But if you go back 50 rounds, I bet you Minwoo doesn't drop all that much. He doesn't. He's third in this field in raw strokes gained. And we can't say all of that is from his last four rounds. So really good stuff from Minwoo. He's been playing good golf for a while. He has got to figure out that second shot. If he can be anything remotely close to a positive second shot golfer, he has a really, really good chance to contend. I am not good at handicapping Sahith Theegala. I am not. I find him to be one of the more difficult golfers in the world to figure out, but here's what I do know. Golf courses with enough room off the tee, not super penal, which again, that's what the correlation likes for Narashino. That's good for Sahith. His short game, stout. You're looking at it right now on rickrungood.com. Multiple strokes gained around the green in five straight. He's a gainer off the tee. The iron play improved significantly here. Went through a mini slump from the Travelers Championship to the FedEx St. Jude. He goes 2.5 to the positive at the BMW Championship, 3.3 in the Fortinet. He wins that event. Is he going to gain 9 strokes putting again? Almost certainly not, right? I mean, that would be surprising. But is he capable of gaining 4? Absolutely. Does that all the time. Finished 5th here in 2022 last year. Now, that was not a full shot length tracked event, it appears, right? Because we're only getting the strokes gained total stuff. So we don't know how he did it, but a good finish nonetheless for Sahith. Now, there's a couple of these guys in this range who generally like to spray it, but can hit it far. Cam Davis, who I will admit, you know, I thought that TPC Summerlin was a pretty bad spot for Cam Davis. I'll admit that. And I opted for golfers like JT Poston over Cam Davis and even guys like Adam Svensson. Now, Poston played well. Svensson played okay. Cam Davis finished T7. I think this is a much better spot for him. You know, and now when you start, the real maturation process, is that the right word, on the PGA Tour for these young guys is seeing them start to break out of little molds that you have them in, right? Oh, this is an X, Y, and Z specialist. He only plays well here. When you start breaking through that and you start playing well at a variety of different golf courses, that is really when you take the next step in your PGA Tour career. And we might be seeing that from Cam Davis right now. Putter scorching hot, nearly 11 strokes gained over the course of his last two starts, both of those this season. He has not lost in any category in his two starts this year. So gained across the board in Napa, gained across the board in Las Vegas. He did not play particularly well at the BMW Championship, but remove that, and he has 5 top 10 finishes in his last 6 starts. So really good stuff there. It was kind of a weird year from him. Remember, he was like sick or just he slumped for a portion of last year. But this 9K range is pretty filled with guys to get you excited. You go back to the strokes gain trends. What do you do with Hideki, right? Winner and a runner up here. What do you do with Adam Scott? Adam Scott sneakily like the 4th best player in this field and playing right to his 100 round baseline. I mean, there are just so many different ways that you can go in this 9K range. I'll be interested to see what the industry does. You know, you get Hideki in a home game at Zozo, at Narashino, where he has finished, let's see, I said it, runner up in 19. That was the Tiger, right? And then a win in 2021. And the last time we saw him feels like forever ago, nearly 2 months ago, when he WD'd at the BMW Championship. I mean, boy, what are people excited about that? What are they going to do? I'd be willing to roll with Hideki here. Can't imagine he WD's from a home game unless something is really, really wrong. As we get down to that 8K range, let me just show you here. So Hideki Matsuyama, this is the on the Holy Grail. So history for Narashino Country Club, the best players. Hideki's 12 rounds, so that's the most anybody could play here 3 years. 2.55 strokes gained per round. Hayden Buckley, Sahith, 4 rounds each. They both finished T5 last year. Keegan Bradley, 2.05. You know, do you do the Ryder Cup snub narrative, the President's Cup snub narrative? You seem to feel this a lot, right? You know, Matt Hughes gets snubbed from the President's Cup, immediately goes and wins. Ryan Fox gets snubbed last year, immediately goes and wins. Guys that kind of get snubbed tend to play well immediately afterwards, and Keegan's going to like one of the better spots for him, which is pretty wild stuff. So again, that 9K range is just full of great golfers. Now that is honestly, that is kind of where I feel you get the drop off. So again, I was trying to point this out a little bit earlier. This is a weird year. You know, the FedEx Cup fall is really a time where the top guys don't have to play. Their spots are locked up for next year. The top 50 guys are locked in. Someone like Bo Hosler, who I think is now 51st, like he's playing for a lot. He's playing to get into the first 2 signature events of next year. But guys like Xander, guys like Colin, like they're not playing for FedEx Cup points. Literally, they will not be given to them. Money, obviously, prestige, honestly, obviously, but we're seeing the guys that are already locked in really dominate the top of the board in the first 3 events. And maybe that's just because they're the best golfers. But my point being that I think we have now hit the drop off, right? Pretty good 10K, a great 10K range, very good 9K range. The 8K range has a lot more question marks. You know, I'm a big believer of Vincent Norman. He has not really lived up to what I was hoping for the last couple of starts out of him. Emiliano Grillo, I walked with him a little bit last week, looked way off, right? That's a pretty big drop off. Eric Cole, he's been phenomenal, right? So this is where I think a lot of the ownership goes to Eric Cole here. You know, when you go to the trends tool and you look at the last 36 rounds, Eric Cole is the 5th best player in terms of strokes gain trend. That looks at their 100 round baseline and then adds or subtracts what their 36 round numbers are and kind of gives you an idea of how they're playing at the moment. Plus also, you know, a way to compare baselines against one another. So Eric Cole has been great. If you look at the numbers, what does he do well? I mean, he is a great second shot player and generally a very good putter. Now, he hasn't even tapped into a lot of that in Las Vegas. He didn't really tap into it in Napa. He's been very stout around the greens. This is a little alarming for this week for me, I will admit. I think you're going to have to putt a little bit better than this. I don't love that you're almost relying on 4 strokes gained around the green every single week, and the driver is kind of an issue for Eric Cole. So I see Eric Cole finishing T12 at this event, right? If you think that's good enough, great, but that feels like the most common finishing position for him. The guy that is maybe still catching my attention here is Adam Svensson. And I was pretty high on Svensson last week. He played well, right? And there's no reason to think he's not going to play well again this week. So look at these results here. So now we have three straight top 18 finishes. We have seen him gain strokes on approach in 6 of 7. We have seen him really gain in the ball striking at least a stroke and a half in 7 straight. He's a positive around the green player in 7 of 9, and the putter is heating up right now. This is a really, really good stat profile and looks of a golfer who is quite close. I don't necessarily think this is the greatest spot for Adam Svensson, but I would not be at all surprised, you know, throw it out there now. I would not at all be surprised to see Adam Svensson win this fall. You know, if I could get a number on Adam Svensson winning one of these fall events, I'd probably take it, because I know he's going to get the RSM Classic, assuming he plays it, where he has won in the past. So I think we are trending towards a Svenny victory here is kind of the way it feels. The 7K range is just one giant question of, will I be fooled by Tom Hoagie again? That is where the 7K range starts. It is where it finishes for me. Will I be fooled by Tom Hoagie again? Probably. I mean, what else am I to do? I'm truly only human. Misses the cut at the Shriners, in which he, I was going to say it wasn't bad. It was pretty bad, right? He lost a shot and a half off the tee, lost 2 around the green. He was a positive approach player, and he was a slightly positive putter. So there are some good takeaways. What I was hoping to get were these performances from the BMW Championship, from the Country Club of Jackson, get himself right back into this thing. And then the other reason that makes him a little bit more enticing is he's played this event twice in Japan, 17th and T9. Is this a good spot for him? If I liked him last week, I should probably like him again this week. He's not going to miss the cut. I know that. So I'm sick in the head. So I will go back to Tom Hoagie here, because I think that the upside is better than a lot of these guys in here. One bad start does not ruin him for me. I'll give it a crack. Shouts to Joel Damon. Okay, what Joel Damon has been doing is pretty splendid stuff. And I actually walked, I think I was with him in his entirety of his Friday round. Honestly, we just kind of got following that group and kept on rolling. 10 strokes ball striking, 5.5 off the tee, 4.5 on approach. I'll tell you what, his Friday round, in which he had one of the lowest rounds of the day, I was walking with a buddy of mine. I don't know if he wants me to say who it was. We were on like the 13th tee, something like that. And he said to me, how deep do you think Joel Damon is right now? And I'm like, oh man, I don't know. He's left a ton of strokes out there. He missed like 2 early birdie putts right on the lip. The body language hasn't been particularly great. A lot of one-handed swings and all this stuff. I don't know. What is he, like 2 under? Like 6 under. Right. It's like, what? Like what? Like how did we get here? Right. It was the most quiet, great Friday that I've seen in quite some time. And it's starting to become a little bit of a trend for him. You know, he needed the break, and he was great in Jackson. He was great in Napa. Again, I don't think it's a great course for him, but I do think compared to some of these peers in the 7K range, starting to play a lot better golf. I want to go to the Holy Grail here, and I want to pull up Cam Champ real quick, because he almost gave us his once a year victory, and he punted all of it away on Saturday, where he lost 5.5 strokes to the field. Now, if you go back and look at the shot tracker, I'm pretty sure he dumped it. He made triple on 3. Now, 3 is hard, right? I mean, it's a par 5. They turn into a par 4. Statistically, it's one of the harder holes on the golf course. Hits it into the trees on the right, dumps it into the desert, and then like can't get out of there, makes a triple, and then it doesn't get much better after that. But he was phenomenal on Thursday, good on Friday, very good on Sunday. This is a golf course that, if you like the correlation, sets up way better for Cam Champ than TPC Summerlin did. So did he show you enough last week? Well, I'll also remind you, going back to Napa, he's gained strokes in 7 of his last 8. He's gained multiple strokes to the field in 5 of those. Cam Champ is playing a lot better golf right now, and I think this is probably the best golf course that we have seen for him this year. What I will also do is I will remind you that if you go to the power rankings, and if you go to just Asian Tour results, you can see some of these guys and how they compare to each other for their, you know, these guys at the bottom who are the Japanese exemptions, they're in here. Someone like Takumi Kanaya, 7,200, 12 rounds, 2.69 in his last 12 on the Asian tour. So then you can go to the golfer profile. And Takumi Kanaya is someone that we talk about, or at least have talked about in these situations before. He's very highly regarded amateur. Or you can look up Rio Histastun. Someone told me how to pronounce this last time and I forget. It's not Histastun. It's Hisatsun, maybe something like that. The win at the French Open, right? Remember we were talking about him at the I think we were talking about him at the BMW PGA Championship, maybe. Nah, it might have been earlier than that. It might have been Barracuda. I think it was Barracuda. That's probably what we would have been talking about it at. But look at these results. So across the DP World Tour and the PGA Tour, he has gained at least 6 strokes to the field in 7 of 10, and that includes a victory in his most recent start. Bunch of top 15 finishes, bunch of top 10 finishes along the way. Fairly good across the board, right? Great putter, can get hot with the irons. Just a lot of good stuff to like about him. He is $7,200. So that Joel Damon, that Rio, even Cam Champ, I think is probably worth consideration. And then the 6K range, we'll run a mod on, probably find some more of these guys. But did I see enough out of Hayden Buckley last week? You know, he is coming back, trying to get this into shape again after having the injury last year. That's not great. Yeah, not great. He's now lost a ton from tee to green. I can cut him some slack for most of these because of the injury, but I can't cut him enough slack for all of those. Mackenzie Hughes. He's been good here. Harry Hall, played well last week, T26. I don't think this is a particularly great spot for him. There's got to be somebody down here, right? Well, let's do it like this. Let's sort this by last 36 rounds, best players in the 6K range. Younghan Song. Yeah, it's a pretty steep drop-off. I mean, you've got a ton of guys who have missed a lot of cuts. You have the guys who are coming from the Japanese exemptions. This is not particularly great. If you made me get down on this, Matt Neesmith has played better golf. I want to see what his numbers were last week. He's played historically so well in Las Vegas. What were his numbers? Okay, not bad. 2 straight starts in which he's gained exactly 2.15 strokes ball striking. Not bad. And he's played well here in the past. I wouldn't mind that. He finished 9th here last year. I would not mind Matt Neesmith. That's basically it. Let's see if the model can find us something different. All right. Custom model, rickrungood.com. I'll try to zoom in here so you can see this a little bit better. You can put any number of weights that you want in here. So let's just quickly run like what the model says, or what the course key stats says. So let's just put like a ton on driving distance, like 30 on distance. Let's put 25 on strokes gained around the green in the last, we should probably go more recent, 36 rounds. Put 25 there, right? So we've got 55. Let's put a little bit on course history, like 15 on Accordia. We've got 30 left. Let's do, I mean, we could just do like strokes gained total and just do the best players. We would double count. Obviously, we'd double count around the green a little bit. All right, let's do, I could just do like implied win percentage. What does Vegas think? Wow. Number one golfer is Adam Scott. Adam Scott, Ricky Fowler, Sahith, Cam Davis, Xander Schauffele, Sung J.M., Hideki Matsuyama, Minwoo Lee, Keegan Bradley, Alex Noren. I'll tell you what, that's not that crazy. Right? We talked about how Adam Scott's been playing. You talk about a pretty decent buyback spot on Ricky Fowler. Sahith, Cam Davis, we talked about. Xander's probably the best player in the field. Sungjae's been like, sure. That is not that crazy. It's truly not. You know, Sahith being third at $9,000 is size. Alex Noren is 8,100. Alex Noren has been playing so well. You know, T3 at the Shriners, I actually thought it was better than this. T9 at the Rocket Mortgage. I actually thought it was a lot better. He's played okay, right? Rocket Mortgage T9, 3M Open T13. It's not horrible, but I did think it was a lot better than that. But man, that is not all that crazy. Now, if we don't trust that, and if we wanted to do something a little bit more like what I would come in here and do, it would probably look something like this. It would probably look like strokes gained off the tee, or actually I'll stick with distance here, but I won't put nearly as much on it. So I'll do 15 on distance, 8 on accuracy. Do a little bit of a total driving there. Then we will do opportunities gained for 15. Then we'll do the strokes gained, or we could do weighted strokes gained around the green, because there are so many guys who are on different tours. So let's do that. Weighted strokes gained around the green for 15. Let's do weighted strokes gained putting for 15. Then I would do course history, because I mean, I think when you go 12 on course history, when you go across to Japan and you got to deal with all of that, like, I do think that's a real thing as well. Then let's do 10 on fantasy points gained. And am I missing anything? Ten on birdies or better gained. Adam Scott, number one. This freaking guy. Is Adam Scott going to win this? Did we even look at Adam Scott's profile? I was like, oh yeah, he's been really good here. I saw him on the trends. Oh yeah. Okay, so played really well at Wentworth. T7 there. He missed the cut at the K Club, the Irish Open, but he missed the cut on the number. T7. So he's got two T7 finishes in his last three starts. Drives it so well. Ball striking's been phenomenal. I mean, the game's sharp. Okay, well, I might be losing some money on Adam Scott this week. Keegan's number two here. Then you get Xander, Colin, Hideki, Ricky, Minwoo, Sungjae, Sahith, Adam Shank pops back up again. So a lot of similar names. Adam Scott being on top of both of those is just wild, wild stuff. But it's 2023. Anything can happen. And he's playing really good golf. All right. Apologies for being a couple minutes behind this week. Appreciate you bearing with me. Go check out rickrungood.com. Go subscribe to the newsletter, rickrungood.com/newsletter. Appreciate all your guys' support. Talk to you soon.